Hi, I'm Mike McLean. Welcome to the Short Circuit podcast, brought to you by Swift Aircraft. In this series, we'll be chatting with a variety of people from all walks of life, but who all have one thing in common: aviation. We'll discuss how and why they got into aviation, what or who inspired them, and what they would say to encourage young people to get involved. Flight fascinates many of us, and our guests will explain why they are compelled to look to the sky. Today's Short Circuit is with Jack Milnes, the man behind the Spirit of Goole project. Jack talks about his personal and family history and his links with aviation and the RAF. We then go on to discuss his Build a Plane project that he created, covering the reasons why he did it and how STEM projects benefit young people. If you want to hear genuine enthusiasm for STEM and youth engagement, then it's well worth listening to Jack. He tells it like it is, why he does it, and how his approach achieves success. Of course, not every individual can make such a large commitment, but since all these types of projects come down to teamwork, then maybe there is some inspiration here for you. So without further ado, let's listen into the chat, and please excuse a couple of squeaks and buzzes towards the beginning. We had a few connection issues, but the quality improves quickly. Good morning, Mr. Jack Milnes, and welcome to the Short Circuit podcast. I'm going to leap straight into it, and I'm going to ask you question number one in the old traditional manner, and that is, who are you, and what was your, or what is your involvement in aviation?
My name's Jack Milnes. I'm chairman of a charity that I set up 11 years ago called the Spirit of Goole, to encourage kids into engineering. So just before I set up the charity, I was an instructor, civilian instructor with the Air Cadets. My background is I was an Air Cadet back in the 70s. I actually joined the Air Cadets at the age of 12 because my three older brothers were all in the Air Cadets, and they felt sorry for me being left at home on the Friday evening when we had the cadets. So I went all the way up till 16 when I joined the Air Force as an engineer. So I served 7 years. Unfortunately, I was medically discharged in 86, and then I retrained and spent my career in IT. I kind of retired in 2009 and decided I needed something to do, so I went to the Air Cadets, explained my experience. I'm a pilot, so I've got PPL with night rating and IMC. So I've always had a lifelong interest in aviation. Even my father was in the Air Force during the war, served in Burma. He came out in 46 when he was repatriated. And my elder brother joined the Air Force and became a fast jet pilot. He flew Phantoms. And then he became an instructor and flew Hawks and Tucanos. He then went on to work for BAE Systems, teaching the Saudis how to fly. And eventually he was head of training in the Royal New Zealand Air Force. Yeah, I've always had a passion for aviation. It runs through the whole family. But starting the charity, as an instructor, I was a CI with the Air Cadets here in Goole. My plan was to make it an Air Cadet project. Fortunately, due to politics, didn't go down too well. So the Air Cadets and I fell out a little bit. I was involved. I wanted to get the kids involved, but then all the instructors, politics and everything got in the way. So I sidestepped them. I went to the school, arranged to use one of their old workshops, set up the charity, and encouraged all the cadets to join as a civilian organisation. So the kids still got involved, the air cadets that I worked with and that had impressed me so much got involved. And so we did it as a civilian project rather than air cadets.
Okay. So you engaged with the young people, and they found that the prospect of building an aeroplane themselves was more attractive than the regular sort of curriculum that was on offer? Or
I wouldn't say that. I would say that they were very keen to get involved with the engineering and building an aeroplane. It was just that they still stayed as cadets, but the Build a Plane project was a civilian one, not official air cadet involvement.
Mm-hmm. Okay. It was just the same personnel, but different badges.
Yeah, as civilians. So a lot of the CIs were involved with initially setting up the charity and working on the project. So, and I mean, other volunteers came from the volunteer glider squadron at Linton, and they were RAF or air cadet flight instructors, and they got involved as well to actually fly the aeroplane once we'd finished it.
Mm-hmm. I mean, it sounds from what I know of the project, it seemed very ambitious at the start, but it didn't seem to phase any of the participants. It always seemed to be just enthusiasm and just a gung-ho attitude, especially from the youngsters. It just seemed to be turbocharged.
Not so much gung-ho, but there was a lot of motivation there from the kids and from the instructors. I mean, we got an LAA inspector involved right at the beginning, John Cook, and he was instrumental in what we did and how we went about it. He was there at the first build session. He inspected everything. He helped train the kids. You've got to bear in mind that the kids didn't even know how to use a file. I mean, metalwork and woodwork is no longer exists within the education system. In fact, when we were moving out, one of the teachers, engineering teacher, when I was explaining that most of the equipment in the workshop was three phase, he said, "What's three phase?"
Ah, that's not good, is it?
No. There was lots of instances like that. We had lots of challenges. So we had to go back to the beginning, teach them how to use the tools. The tools that we were using, certainly the power tools, the school declared them beyond the capability of children due to health and safety. So things like a bandsaw, they weren't allowed to use those in school. We did. I often try to fight against health and safety because common sense is far better skill to have than to rely on a risk assessment from somebody else.
Mm-hmm. I think it's down to knowledge versus ignorance. If you know what the thing is and how to use it, then that's safer than not knowing how to not use something.
So we taught them how to use this machinery. And in the 11 years that we've been going, we've never had an accident in the workshop.
So the skills and the range of activities involved in this, I mean, but there was also a whole bunch of other activities around the project, which I believe you delegated to the youngsters as well.
What I wanted to prove to them was that it's not just one skill. So you can have somebody who's really skilled at engineering, but to make the project work, you've got to have fundraisers. You've got to have marketing. You've got to have IT skills to put the website up and to take the photographs and to do all the social media. So I wanted them to realize that there was things like, you know, the logo design. We had one girl who was very interested in graphics design. She went on to university and did that. So she was doing logos and promotional banners and things like that, so that when we went out on the road, and that was one of our key successes, I think, but she would do all the promotional work for that. And then we started to get the kids to actually talk to members of the public and do presentations and to enter other competitions. So we put the kids in for the Royal Institute of Navigation's Top Nav competition. Okay. First year, our kids, they had the youth side, so that was open to air cadets and other youth aviation organisations across the country. The first year that we entered, the kids had to plan a route and then fly it as accurately as possible, making notes on all the navigation stuff that they were doing. We managed to get four pilots to volunteer, and they flew for them, and they did all the navigation and radio. The kids came first, second, third, and fourth.
That's incredible.
So they were using all of the navigation skills that we taught them, geography, understanding MET, and basic navigation. So that was the first year. The second year that we entered them, they came first, second, and third.
Mm-hmm.
Third year, they came, one of the youngsters came first. And at that point, it was pretty much the Royal Institute turned around and said, could you let somebody else have a chance?
Yes, you succeeded yourself out.
Which was only fair, to be honest with you. But it was nice to be in that position. And, of course, then the kids, because they'd won, they got to meet Prince Philip at the prize-giving at the Royal Institute's thing. So they started to click up, meeting members of the royalty and some pretty high-up people within the Royal Institute of Navigation. In fact, one of the girls has joined the committee. She's still involved. She works on their youth side, but she's just been made a committee member. So basically, she's a trustee of the Royal Institute of Navigation. So even after 11 years, the kids are still involved.
Well, that leads me perfectly onto my next question, which was going to be, so the feedback from you've had from the youngsters involved, the skills and the activities that they did during the build a plane project seems to have been influential on their life since then, as they've moved into adulthood and started careers or whatever. And we have interviewed a couple, which the podcast is yet to be broadcast, but can you sort of expand on what sort of feedback you've had, if any, and how influential, how useful that the kids have found this?
I mean, it's from university interviews all the way through to jobs. People, they've been asked what they did while they were at school and what they got involved with, what were their hobbies. And as soon as they've said, basically, we built an aeroplane, everybody goes, well, a model one. And of course they go, no, real one that we flew. And then the job interviews turn around to, well, how did you get involved with that?
Mm-hmm.
And so it's always been highly attractive for the kids. And it's been really beneficial for them with those skills. They're still involved and they still keep popping up like the bad pennies that they are. but now, of course, one of the girls is now a mum. She's in the Air Force still as an engineer. So, yeah, I mean, they still come back. That still helps them.
Mm-hmm. And on a personal basis, so, I mean, there's a lot of chat about STEM and its effectiveness on the young people and how it rolls out into real life, for want of a better phrase, and so on. But there's also, I think, because I'm of a certain age as well, and getting involved in projects or doing voluntary work, I find that incredibly satisfying on a personal level for me as well. It gives me a purpose. It gives me satisfaction. And that's an enduring thing when you see the benefits rolling forwards. It all sounds very worthy, and that's not the intention. But I think there are some people who may be scared of getting involved in voluntary work. It must be something that keeps you going.
It's the kids. I mean, the real frustrating thing is the adults, to be honest. The kids are great, particularly when I was with the air cadets. I got on with all of them. I joke with them. I encourage them. Some of them were struggling to get through the different rank badges and the different qualifications. So I opened up the squadron over the summer holidays and gave them a crash course. They run through a subject for 2 or 3 days, and then they'd sit the exam straight away. But just being there and trying to encourage them and having a joke with them, I found the air cadets to be some of the most stimulating, fascinating people. They're really motivated. I love the air cadets. It's the organization that I have problems with the adult.
I think the organization itself has recognized that it needs to move forward and adjust what it's doing. I was in the cadets back in the 70s as well, and it was very much, I don't think what went on then would directly apply to today. Just telling them something, I don't think works. They have to be engaged, involved. Otherwise, you don't get the enthusiasm.
No. And I think the fact that we took the aeroplane out. So the first year we started, we didn't have anything. It was a year of trying to fundraise. Mm-hmm. So we went to the LAA rally, we went to Aero Expo, and said, this is what we want to do. So we had an event shelter, we had some banners, and that was it. And a charity bucket, please help us. We finally got the local MP to help us get funding from BAE Systems, just down the road at Brough, which was great. That gave us a big name. And then we were able to get lots of other big names involved. Once we'd started the project in 2013, we started going with the basic airframe, with the airframe as we got it. And we kept going back year in year. So we spent four years turning up at the LAA rally. Mm. And saw us on the first year when we had nothing. And then we took the fuselage with us on the next year, 2013, and people went, okay. Well, it's gone a bit from paperwork to actually there's something we can look at and the quality of the work, and et cetera. And then the next year we went when we had the wings done, but it wasn't covered. We hadn't installed the avionics yet. And then the next year, of course, it went and it was partially covered, etc. And so every time we went out each year, people could see the progress. And that attracted a lot of publicity, a lot of interest.
Mm-hmm.
Got local BBC, calendar from ITV involved. And we were at a fly-in at Breton, just up the road, and a journalist from Turkey picked up on the fact that the kids were there shaking the charity tins, trying to raise money to get the project. So we ended up being published in Turkey.
Wow.
In an aviation magazine, which was, the Brits are doing this, why aren't we? Mm-hmm. We got a copy of that. We also got published in Denmark and another publication in Holland. So we actually got quite a lot of publication, not just in the UK, but also in the rest of Europe, if you like.
Wow. Yeah.
And then finally, when we did the first flight, the first test flight, the One Show came up and did a whole article about the flight and how it had inspired these kids. And so we got national coverage. I got several phone calls from the BBMA and various organizations. How did you manage to get national publication? Just a case of phone them up and ask them, let them know what was going on. So
Yeah.
it was a lot of fun. And we had kids involved in that. There was one, I think you interviewed a Michelle. She had ambitions to do an English degree and maybe go on to politics. She's actually moved into marketing, but she was very much coordinating all the press. So yeah, they were involved in all aspects of the project. The skill base of the aircraft we chose, the Sherwood Ranger from Light Aircraft Company, I'll give them a plug. The materials were aluminium frame, tubes riveted together. There was woodwork on the wings, so there was quite a lot of woodwork involved. And there was a little bit of composites as well.
Time is marching on rapidly. I mean, I could sit and natter all day about this, but we have to think about the end of this interview, and of course, we have to deal with the biggest question of all, and that is, of course, what is your favorite plane and why?
The mosquito is my
Okay.
thing. The fastest, lightest, most dangerous British aircraft to the Luftwaffe is why I love it. It's absolutely beautiful.
I must admit, aesthetically, it is a thing of beauty. I'm just trying to think if I've seen one flying. Can't remember. I've seen plenty of other Merlin powered stuff, but I don't think I've seen a mosquito.
Only four of them in the world that are airworthy. Although there is one for up for sale for on Platinum Fighters at the moment. It's a restoration of a 1944 version of the bomber version, but it's $6,900,000.
That's a lot of bucket shaking to go and get 6 million plus, I must admit. But I think we may have. So the reason we asked the question is that your choice will go, there'll be a picture will go up on our virtual control tower wall. So there's a cork board, which is up on the website, and as the interviews go out, then the picture goes up on the wall. So we will have a picture of a mosquito with your name underneath it. And if you have a particular picture of your own that you would like us to use, then feel free to send that in to me, and we can use that one.
Of course, the aircraft that I've flown, my favorite would be probably the Robin DR400. I was struggling with my pilot's license to get finished because of work commitments. So I took 2 weeks off, went to Limoges, where there was an English flying instructor called Sue Ver. She'd been a jockey and come off, spent 3 years in traction, but had managed to get to be the flight instructor, the chief flying officer to Limoges. So I went out there, flew Robins, and finished after 2 weeks. Did my skills test on the day before I was coming back, and so that's how I managed to get my PPL. Unfortunately, Sue's passed away now, but always be thankful to her for getting me through.
Excellent. Well, Jack, we're getting right to the end here, so we're going to wrap up. So, first of all, I want to say thank you for joining me under all the circumstances that are applicable. It's been great catching up with you. It has been a long time, and we do need to do something more. And we'll certainly get you and the rest of the Spirit of Ghoul team over to Coltishall at some point for a bit of a reunion. But when we have an event, we will get you out there to join us. Okay. Very briefly, just to wrap up, so join the cadets, join the Air Force, left the Air Force, rejoined the cadets as a CI, set up a charity to do the Spirit of Ghoul project, and since then have been mentoring young people and launching them out into their world, all on the back of a small red biplane called the Spirit of Ghoul. That's quite a career. So I'll say thank you very much for joining me here on the Short Circuit. We will be in touch sometime soon. And in the meantime, fly safe.
Thank you. Much appreciated.
So that was Jack Milnes, a man that has faced significant difficulties and challenges in his life, but he hasn't let that get in his way. He is another example of someone who has paid forward their goodwill and has had the opportunity to see the results. It is so satisfying to see those that you have mentored succeed and flourish in their chosen fields. My personal experience with Jack and the rest of the TESOG crew over the last decade or so has inspired me in my STEM activities, and I know that there are many others who have benefited from the ripple effect. So, I say thank you to Jack on behalf of myself, Swift Aircraft, and the rest of us for the hashtag Inspiring Aviation. It was a pleasure to have you here on the Short Circuit. Fly safe. You have been listening to The Short Circuit, presented by Mike McLean and sponsored by Swift Aircraft with the hashtag Inspiring Aviation. This has been a Zoom Spike production.